Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's me, your girl POC, coming live right now on this winning Wednesday. Man, I am excited to be back on the airways with you guys. Last Sunday, I had too many problems in the studio, but today I made sure I got it right the first time for you guys. Make sure you guys are spreading the word and spreading the message that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go directly to tune in. You can either search Time for an Awakening on the website or go directly to the app and just search once again Time for an Awakening. You hit Meet Your Girl POC. I am live on your airways from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. you guys. 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So spread the word that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com. Shout out to everyone who's listening right now. 8 p.m. on the nose. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather be early than late. You know what I'm saying? Don't meet me there, beat me there. That's what everybody's saying nowadays. So don't meet me there, beat me there. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who is tuning in right now. I got your girl True Heart in the building with me, as well as Harmony the Goddess, holding it down each and every Wednesday in the Revive studio. Yo, I want to give a huge shout out. I have to start with this, man. Today is my big brother's birthday. I hope he is listening right now. I want to give a big old head shout out to my big brother, man. I love that guy to death. That is my guy right there. I hope you have a great Earth Day birthday, man. I hope you take your 27th lap around the universe and just, you know, be blessed the entire way through. Just super shout out to my big brother. Shout out to you, X, holding it down. Make sure you guys follow him on Instagram as well at X Extra Large. I think that's what it is. He don't even know his Instagram. I just played on, my bad, bro. I'm gonna make sure I get your Instagram. But yes, yo, also Harmony got some birthdays too. She was pressed. She was like, no, you gotta tell him. All right, so I'm gonna let her do her thing and shout out these birthdays today. October, it's October, babies. You know what I'm saying? True over there in the back cheesing like, but what about my birthday? But anyway, so I'm gonna let Harmony the Goddess shout out these birthdays. Hold on.
So life is definitely a celebration. So we just want to give a shout out to Cardi B, who is the number one hip hop artist right now. She's 25, y'all. Can y'all even believe that? She's 25 years old.
It's something about those 92 babies. You know what I'm saying? Those 92 babies be popping.
Could it just be 90s baby?
I mean, it could be 90s babies too. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely a 90s baby fan, but I'm always going to rep my set. So shout out to those 92 babies out there doing their thing.
Also, it is MC Light. Now, if you don't know who MC Light is, then you really need to check her out. She's the dopest hip hop artist since day one. Like, she's been around since before I was born, probably before you was born. Like, check her out. MC Light. She's on everything. And she's 47, so black don't crack. Just look at her. It's beautiful. MC Light, you always welcome on Revive Radio. Just want to let you know. You always welcome.
You forgot to tell Cardi the same thing. Please tell her.
Okay, awesome. Cardi B, you always welcomed on Revive Radio as well. Definitely. I've been reaching out to you, so hopefully you got a couple emails or phone calls. So definitely you're always welcome to Revive Radio. So that is just it for right now for the birthday celebrations. But definitely happy birthday to your brother, to Cardi B, to MC Light, and to a True Heart as well, to the October babies, because it's Libra season going into Scorpio season. So we show love where it is love.
I'm with you on that one. Definitely, yo, shout out to Cardi B. I know she's out having a blast right now on this Winning Wednesday because, man, she just got Hustler of the Year on Friday. She got her BET Awards this summer. She just hit the Billboard charts at number one. She's still number one this week. So I know she, her Offset pride. Ooh, ooh, what do you say? I know they actually turn it up right now. We learned that from Queen the other day. She was like, every time you say Offset, you got to make sure you shout it out. You got to shout it out, man. Shout out to both Queen and Miami for holding it down, man. They came through. Queen is the 3 year in a row. She's been the champ for 3 years now at Polathon. They came through and showed love at DG on Monday. Thank you for everybody who supporting us over at DG. If you listen to Time for an Awakening right now, you can definitely check us out on DG Radio each and every Monday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. as well. That link is in my bio. Shout out to Tyler Evinia for always holding it down. She comes on around 8:35. Well, what the fuck? So make sure you guys tune in to Revive because we going live each and every Wednesday, man. Yo, True Hop. Guess who's spitting them bars, man? Eminem. Did you hear that freestyle? I pray it was a freestyle because if that was a freestyle, the chill bumps that I got when I heard that, I'm like, yo, Eminem is back? Is he really back? The greatest of all time. Everybody kept saying he was the GOAT today. Everybody kept saying he was the GOAT today. But he also got some beef, too. I think her name is Tokyo Tony or something like that. Yeah, she was beefing. You know, I'm a roomie with the Shade Room. You know what I'm saying? So I'm on it. I'm a roommate. You hear me? So I do. I'm on it. I promise you that that's my plug right there. Me and the Shade Room be going back and forth. But yes, so she was going ham. She was like, at the end of the day, Eminem, you're still a white boy. So at the end of the day, you're still going to have that white privilege. So at the end of the day, everything you just said, you know, everything that we resonated with at the same time is still not going to, you know, affect you because at the end of the day you still have that white privilege hanging over your head. You can be Eminem the rapper, you can walk around saying you hate Trump, this, that, and the third, but when it all comes down to it, you know, you're still white. And I kind of got that, but I definitely love what he said last night, but I definitely got what she was saying. I'm not hating on him though. I'm not hating on him because I love the bars he said. How you feel about it, Harmony? How you feel about that?
So we're gonna go with me first. Okay, cool. I think he killed it. I thought he was super dope. I thought that he is speaking definitely for the revolution. He's a part of the revolution. He's always been speaking truth since he's been in the game. That's just my opinion. And then also just where he diagnosed Trump as the master of distractions. Just understand what he is saying and the message behind what he is saying. It's not just all about, he's white. Clearly, we got that point. But what is he actually speaking about and what is he using his platform for? So I thought he was pretty dope because he gave that chance to speak up and speak out and kind of go after him. Because Trump is the type of person who goes after people. He doesn't just disagree with people. He goes after them. And then when someone else goes after him, then it's an issue. It's a huge issue. So my thing is Marshall Mathers, you was brutally honest. And I respect you, kid. I respect you.
I'm with you on that one. He definitely had his grown man, old man beard on last night, though. He ain't look like no little white boy no more. He definitely had that old man beard on last night. I'm like, yo, this man out here tripping. But you are, how you feeling? Because, I mean, Harmony, she was all right with it, you know what I'm saying? But I'm still on the fence about it. How you feeling?
I feel good about it. I think the message, just like Harmony said, the message behind the music was everything. But I had to watch it multiple times. I'm not going to lie. Because at first, I really had to catch the flow. And I'm like, okay. All right. Like, everybody was hyping it up. So I was like, let me watch the video. And I think just to have all those people standing behind him like that in solidarity. And even if he is getting backlash, at the end of the day, my allies getting beat up and brutally, you know, brutally attacked on the front lines of African Americans. So I'm not going to shade him for being a white man and rapping. At the end of the day, sure, he's white, but if you're going to be an ally for the community and you're going to speak up and speak out against prominent forces, then I'm not going to shade you for that. Because technically, even though you are a white man, I feel like you're on my side because you're advocating and you're using your privilege to highlight a quote unquote minority or even just a hot topic and a hot issue. So everybody that's throwing shade, no, because you was rocking with them. What was that, 8 Mile? You was rocking with them that. So now since he's speaking up and speaking out about certain issues, now he just all of a sudden just a white boy. So I'm rocking with it, but I definitely had to catch the flow. I definitely had to watch the video a few times, but I'm forever Eminem fan. I thought he was gonna go so much harder. Like, I was waiting for him to like speed it up real quick, but he just kept his flow. So I was like, okay, well, when's the remix coming out? Like, I just wanted him to go, like, you know, just speed it up a little bit. But at the end of the day, it was dope.
I'm with you on that too, because I listened to it a couple times. I had to, and definitely with the 8 Mile plug, he threw a little Cheddar Bob in there. You know what I'm saying? Threw a little Cheddar Bob in there. So that was dope too, because in the flow, you know what I'm saying, he switched it up a couple times for you to fully understand what he was saying. He was articulating everything last night. He said something that LeBron, I gotta pull this up, man. I gotta make sure I pull this up. You got it, True Heart? You with it? No.
No. I honestly just wanted to say, like, the, for everything you do is always going to be haters and naysayers and different things like that. But look at the people that are standing with him. Like, J. Cole shouted him out. Colin Kaepernick shouted him out. So it's just like, at the end of the day, we're not going to listen to the naysayers. We're going to listen to the people that stand on the front lines with us and speaking a positive message. So I was retweeting everything. Like, yes, retweet, like, share. Like, I was on it all day, every day.
He definitely got a lot of love, but LeBron actually quoted exactly what he said. He made like a reference to the Fantastic Four with the Rock Man that's in the Fantastic Four, which is orange. And then he applied that to the Donald Trump, because, you know, we call him orange. Y'all got to go on LeBron tweet. LeBron, the real MVP for real, y'all. He was out there catching the bars, and he actually, you know what I'm saying, took his time to look it up to see exactly what Marshall was saying last night. So I thought that was pretty cool.
He retweeted it too. Like, it's his most retweeted thing. So, and then LeBron said, racism is the only thing he's fantastic for. Parentheses, fantastic for, because that's how he gets his rock off. He's orange. Jeesh, Eminem with the rock man.
You know what I'm saying? That, like, that was flavor, but I didn't peep that though.
Yeah, I ain't peeping you. I'm sure I didn't say like Eminem. And then he said, hashtag United. Like, come on. And LeBron has 38.8 million followers. Come on. If you ain't get the analogy, like, go look at it. We about to retweet it right now.
We got to retweet that one, because when I seen that, I was like, oh, yo. These, you know what I'm saying, people got a lot of time on their hand, because I ain't even had that much time on my hand to break that down like he did. So that was super dope. I want to know what you guys think about Eminem's freestyle last night at the Hip Hop Awards. I really want to know what you guys are thinking. The telephone number, 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. Or you can hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Revive_POC. Once again, that's Revive_POC on both Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Yo, make sure you guys are subscribing to that newsletter, that Revive newsletter, that Harmony the Goddess puts together each and every month. It's going to come out once a month, the first week of the month. And if you want to see or stay in the loop on what's going on here in Revive, make sure you guys subscribe to that Revive newsletter. You can go to timeforanawakening.com/revive. Scroll down where you see that subscribe button. Click that link. Once you click that link, it's going to take you directly where you need to go to sign up for that Revive newsletter. Make sure you guys do that. I also want to talk about what happened in Miami over this past weekend, y'all. But before we get into that, I just want to let you guys know that today we will be highlighting Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We will be having on some very, very dope guests talking with us about breast cancer awareness, man. I know we all know, you know, the normal, you know, just get your mammogram, you know, go get, you know, tested, things like that. Make sure you're checking your breasts. But this young lady, she's actually going to break it down for you guys, and she's going to do it so millennial. Like, and that's why I love her. That's why I had to get her on the show today, because she speaks directly to millennials. You guys, we think that we're just, because we're in like our mid-20s, our teenage years, whatever it may be, that, you know, we don't have to worry about that right now. That's not the case at all. This is the time that we actually start to get checked. This is the time that we start to check our breasts and things of that nature. You should have been doing it, you know, I'm at a younger age, but we're going to start with the millennials right now. We're going to start where we are, and we're going to make sure that you guys get the education that you need when it comes to breast cancer, because breast cancer, especially among African-American women, it hurts us each and every year, because we are affected the most, you guys. We are affected the most. Why are we affected the most? It's because we're not educated on the topic, and that's what we're trying to do here in Revive. We're trying to educate you and re-educate you on different topics such as today's with breast cancer awareness. And definitely stay tuned to the Revive platform, because coming up on the 9 o'clock hour, I'm going to be giving away a $20 gift card to whatever black owned business of your choice. Once again, I'm going to be giving away a $20 gift card to whatever black owned business of your choice. We're going to do a breast cancer trivia. They can answer three breast cancer facts. If they get two out of the three right, they gonna cop this gift card, man. And I only support black owned businesses. And you know what? I was feeling real friendly today. I was like, you know what? I'm not just gonna support mine. I'm gonna support other people because other people are supporting me right now. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna give away a $20 gift card to whatever black owned business of your choice. And it's a lot of black owned business. You know what I want? I want that Black by Popular Demand. I need to go get one of those. They got some bomb hoodies, and it's starting. The hoodie season finally starting to come. You know what I'm saying? Because I was in flip flops the other day. I ain't even gonna hold you. But yes, whatever black owned business of your choice, call in on the 9 o'clock hour when our guest is on. I'm gonna make sure we do it when our guest is on so she can make sure that you come in with the actual factual. Shout out to my man Keith Taylor for coming through and supporting us on Sunday, this past Sunday. What's buzzing? Shout out to the Left Side of Politics. They always support us here in Revive, so we're definitely gonna make sure we shout them out each and every time. Make sure you guys go follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at TLS Politics. Make sure you guys go follow them. But yo, this weekend was crazy. When they say anything can happen, they really mean anything can happen, yo. Like, this beautiful brown baby, 22 years of age, goes to Miami, Florida. She goes to Miami, Florida, the beautiful city of Miami, Florida, right? And when you think of Miami, you already know turn up, beach, turn up, beautiful woman, sexy men walking down the street half naked. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what you're thinking when you think of Miami, right? You never think that when you go plan your birthday to go to Miami that you are not going to make it home. And this is exactly what happened this past weekend. A Temple University student lost her life. She lost her life at the age of 22. This saddens me. This really, truly, truly saddens me. Like, how do we explain this other than anything can happen?
It's honestly crazy. Karen Denise Hilton, she was a senior at Temple University, and the simple fact that, like, she was miles and miles away from home, and to hear that she's been shot and killed all the way back in the city of Philadelphia is just wow. Like, she was driving drunk, yes, and so in the event that somebody is driving drunk, you give them a DUI, and apparently she hit and killed the officer, she hit a cop car.
No, she actually hit the officer. So this is what happened.
But the officer didn't die.
Yeah, so let me tell the story real quick, right? So she was driving intoxicated. She also had a friend in the car. No, she had a friend in the car with her as well. And I'm sure he was intoxicated because if you watch the video when you step out, you know what I'm saying? You're looking at him like, yo, you kind of trash right now too, right? But so she was driving down Miami. I'm not sure which exact street right now, but she was driving down in Miami and she actually hit a car. She hit one car first. And when she hit the first car, she sped off. She was like, oh no, I'm not about to get caught up. When she sped off, she went down the street a little bit and she hit another car. And then when she hit the other car, then she's like try to turn. And when she turned into a crowd of people who actually ambushed her and try to stop her from, you know, getting away this time. And they try to make her get out the vehicle. You can see her friend and her like talking and, you know, trying to come up with a little strategy in the car, whatever they may be doing at that time. I'm not sure. You can see that. And he steps out the car. Like, once they finish talking, he steps out the car and he just looks at the car. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't really like take a look around for real. He just turns around and stares at the car, right? Then the police start walking up on the scene. As one officer walked up on the scene, he walked directly into the car. And there was another, like, Italian man or something. He looked Italian to me. And he was trying to pretty much say, yo, officer, that's her right there. She did this, she did that. Pretty much being a snitch on the block, right? And everybody was like, be quiet, like, who are you to him, blah, blah, blah. Then she finally just drove, like, she just started driving, and she literally flipped the officer up in the air, you know what I'm saying, ran over him, literally physically ran, the back tires of her vehicle ran over this man, like, for real. And the officer that was there that arrived with him, he just took out his pistol and shot her directly into the driver's side window, and she lost her life. She actually ran into another vehicle as she was, you know, being shot at. She ran into another vehicle and she hit that vehicle, but that vehicle was parked, so that vehicle was not moving. That vehicle was parked, and then she lost her life at that time. And that's a tragedy to me, honestly, truly. For one, Miami needs to raise their drinking laws. their age. Something has to happen in the city of Miami where, you know, their drinking laws has to be regulated 10 times harder. It has to be implemented 10 times harder. Maybe the drinking age in Miami should not be 21. Maybe they should reconsider, you know, something different, or they need, walking out of the different bars and stuff, you got to take a breathalyzer or something to make sure that, you know, you're not walking into the city drunk. Because even if you've been in Miami before, you have seen fights because of people drunk and they're just fighting on the street. You know what I'm saying? I have witnessed that myself from being in Miami. I've seen people just drunk and just starting stuff and then start fighting and things like that. So it's just like the intoxication level in Miami is high. You know what I mean? Everybody is above the level of, you know, intoxication, the point that you're not supposed to be intoxicated at, right? The legal intoxication limit, I'm sorry. So for her to walk out of whatever bar she walked out of, got into her vehicle and drove, you know, multiple times, hit multiple cars, and no one is talking about, you know, changing the laws down there. No one is talking about changing, you know, how it's structured when it comes to people drinking at a young age. 22 is not grown. 22 is not grown. You still have a childlike mind at 22.
No, POC, I don't agree that it should implement different policies and different things like that, because no, and that's totally understandable. We have the right to disagree, but I don't think that if the legal age to drink in, you know, the U.S. is 21, then there's no reason why in this particular city, in the state of Florida, just because it's a vacation town or it's a vacation city and people are overly intoxicated, I don't think that should implement different policies in regards to the drinking age, because at the end of the day, it's still 21. And yes, she was 22. Did she deserve to lose her life? No. And I don't think if she was with other friends, they definitely should have not gotten in the car. There's Ubers, there's Lyft, there's different things that could have prevented this. But when you were talking, I was just like, nah. Because at the end of the day, I don't think policy is going to help. People are still going to go to the club. People are still going to get intoxicated. I think that she should have just gotten an Uber and got home safely. But I don't think that any policy needs to be implemented. But I do think that, like, maybe like a car key check-in or something like that at a club, so you don't go and operate your vehicle. I think that may be more beneficial than policy. Because policy is only good when it's implemented. And I think a car key check-in just to make sure that nobody's driving under the influence would be good. I'm glad that nobody got killed, but yeah.
Well, she did lose her life. You know what I mean? She did lose her life. So somebody's life is gone. And I know Harmony got something to say too, but before she goes, I just want to say this too. I understand what you're saying. I do understand your points. And the crazy part is I was actually texting Tab Money about this earlier. And I was like, teen drinking is very bad. And she replied, but I got a fake ID though. So like, I completely understand what you're saying right now, because Tab Money, you know, she said the exact same thing pretty much. But what I'm saying though is that something has to be implemented. Like, we cannot continue to watch things happen. You know, just think about the DUI rates that go on in America. Like, just think about how many DUIs we have per year, different cities, how many DUIs we have per year, how many people lose their lives to drivers who are drunk. You know, just like you said, no, thank God no one died who she hit while she was drinking and driving, because then those families will be lost as well. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. A family is lost. The people who was probably hitting the cars while she was drinking and driving and sped off, things like that, they're probably hurt too as well. But I'm just saying, like, something has to happen. Something definitely has to happen. I don't think that 21 is popping no more. Like, it got to go up, because the alcohol is killing us, man. It's killing us.
I agree with you to a certain extent. I feel as though DUIs don't have an age. So anyone can have a DUI, whether you're 45, or whether you're 15, whether you're 21, whether you're 22, regardless, if you're drinking, intoxicated, and you're driving, then you're going to get a DUI. But my thing is with Carrie Ann, the Temple student that was, you know, fairly shot and killed, she's 22, she's having a good time, she's in Miami. Yes, that is the case. But what if, in that instance, like, she actually... as the cops say today, feared for her life. You know what I'm saying? Like, we get into an accident and we like, oh, we automatically panicking. Like, I'm 22. I'm in my senior year. I don't want to be booked for this. And I'm in Miami. Like, and I've been drinking and it's my birthday. Exactly. So just thinking about that, maybe she just was in the type of mindset was like, let me just get away. Not intentionally trying to run somebody over and kill somebody. But now my question is, do you think the police lawfully, shot and killed her. Exactly. Like, should they have shot at her tire or something else and not necessarily just shot to kill because that's what they're taught to do?
No, I agree with you there. I definitely agree with you there. They should have definitely, used other tactics instead of shooting directly into the window of the driver. But I, just like you said, what if they were afraid for their lives? And I'm not taking up for the law officer who shot her. I'm not taking up for him at all. But what I'm saying is he just seen his partner being ran over by a car. Like, he blinked and his partner was under two tires. You know what I'm saying? So what if he shot because that was just a reaction? Just like she reacted by driving away multiple times. That was her third time driving away that day from hitting something or hitting someone. You know what I'm saying? So I agree with what you're saying. I love the question you posed. But then my question, my counter would be, what if he, was actually this time, accurately scared for his life because he just saw his partner being ran over by a vehicle by someone he just seen two cars ago. Just hit and ran. You know what I'm saying? So what if now he's just making a judgment call like, yo, she's a mad woman. She's really out here trying to, murder people with her vehicle or whatever. But I think that's an extreme situation. I definitely wanted to bring it up today. I want to know what you guys are thinking about it as well. I talked to her with a bunch of my friends. Shout out to Stony F Baby. Me and her, we had an in-depth conversation about this because, she has a lot of family in Miami, so she's always down there. So she definitely was like, yo, this is crazy. This is crazy. Like, when I was texting her about it, she was like, yo, I had to stop and pray because this is big. We just lost another one. And I believed her. Like, we did. We definitely just lost another one. But definitely give us a call, 215-490-9832. Up next, we're gonna have our next guest coming onto the Revive platform. Harney, who's coming up next on the Revive platform?
It is Terry LeBon. Terry LeBon is,
I cannot wait to be talking to Terry today, man. He is a artist. When I talk about artists, he is a artist. Right after this commercial break, we'll have Terry here on Revive. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl POC. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
My crop sears. While Caucasian women are slightly more likely to develop breast cancer than other ethnic groups, the disease is more likely to be fatal for African American women. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, African American women are more likely to get a form of breast cancer that spreads more quickly. But there is also the issue that many Black women are diagnosed when their cancer is at a later stage where there are fewer treatment options. This may be because they aren't getting regular breast exams or mammograms, which can help detect breast cancer in the earlier stages. No matter what your ethnic group or racial background is, it's essential for women to have regular screenings for breast cancer. This includes a clinical breast exam, which your doctor looks for lumps or anything unusual. This is a part of your annual physical. It is also recommended that women begin getting mammograms at age 40 and have them every 1 to 2 years after that. You may need to start getting regular screenings before the age of 40, depending on your family history for breast cancer and your overall health. Nearly everyone can qualify for affordable health insurance, which provides annual physicals and mammograms at no additional cost to you. Also, if you have a higher risk for breast cancer due to your family history, you can receive counseling regarding genetic testing, where someone will sit with you to discuss those risks and if there is a need for a particular kind of screening or test. You may also benefit from preventative drug treatments. These are also covered by your health insurance without additional out-of-pocket cost. While we may not be able to prevent breast cancer, we can treat it more effectively if it's detected early. Be sure to talk to your doctor about which regular screenings are right for you.
Growing up, you learn that if you get good grades in high school and get a college degree, you will have your shot at the American dream. Unfortunately, that is no longer true. There are currently 20 million Americans attending college every year. 20 million students, 20 million different stories, one struggle, and one call to action. The current student loan debt crisis has now reached $1 trillion and continues to grow $3,000 a second. 20 million students, all with the same problem, and yet so few are willing to stand against it. Will you?
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC.
And yes, 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 we are back live on Revive right now here on this Winning Wednesday. It's me, your girl, POC. Make sure you guys are following us on both Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. And do not forget to spread the word that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can also tune into us right now on TuneIn. You can either download the app or go directly to the website and just search Time for, I'm sorry, just search for Revive. No, it is Time for an Awakening. I'm tripping. Time for an Awakening. And you hit Meet Your Girl POC from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every Winning Wednesday, and also each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But we do have our first guest coming up here on Revive, man. And he is an artist, man. He is a artist. He blew my mind away the first time I met him. And I didn't even know that that was him. I was just looking at the art and he was standing there like, yeah, I did that. He's so humble. He's a great guy. You guys, I think you guys are gonna love him as well. Y'all, Chuar, who do we have coming onto the Revive platform tonight?
Up next on the Revive platform, we have Terry LeBan. Terry is a cartoonist, graphic recorder, and illustrator. His work has appeared in many publications, including Mad Magazine, Nickelodeon Magazine, and Details. For 15 years, from 2001 until 2016, he created the daily comic strip Edge City, which was syndicated by King Features Syndicate and appeared in newspapers nationwide. Terry is a graphic recorder and facilitator, and his company,
Breakthrough Visuals creates finished illustrations, explainer, comics, and infographics for businesses and organizations. He also teaches classes in comics and cartoons as an adjunct professor at Philadelphia University. Welcome, Terry, to the Revive platform.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear, Mr. Terry. How are you feeling today?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome to Revive Platform. I appreciate you coming on to the Revive Platform. I remember the day I met you at the Women's Conference here in Philadelphia, and I was like, soon as I seen your art, I was like, I gotta get you on my show. Like, I have to educate my listening audience about what you do, because it's not something that, you know, we see every day. Because, you know, not a lot of us are sitting in those conferences, you know what I mean? So I really want you to go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself and what you do before we get started.
All right. Well, my name is Terry LeBan, and I'm a graphic recorder these days. And what a graphic recorder does is go to speaking events and conferences and workshops. And we take sketch notes, a combination of words and images. And we do it live as the event happens on a large, either a large piece of paper or foam core. With markers. And what you have when you're done is kind of a map of what was said at that event. And depending on the event, there's different uses for the art. It can just be a record that people can share on social media and help publicize the event and serve as sort of a note. And if you're doing sort of a brainstorming session or a workshop, it can be part of the process of thinking. So, you know, for instance, if people are putting ideas out there and the graphic recorder is able to put images to those ideas and frame them in a visual way, that can really help people sort of envision the ideas and sort of move the discussion forward.
It definitely does.
You know, a lot of people are visual learners, especially now with the internet.
Technology.
People are really used to combinations of text and images, so we really reflect that. I'm kind of like a live whiteboard video, you know.
Exactly what it is, though. It's that exact definition. Like, what you do pretty much is you take the entire, you know, conference or whatever, you know, professional environment you are in, and you take that and you just draw it out for the people to fully understand, you know, what just happened in that conference or in that room. And it gives people a better understanding because they will be able to see it and not just hear it, you know? And how you do it, because you're such a great artist, you know, you even draw like little talk bubbles around certain people, so you know exactly who said this and what quote came from this person and things of that nature. That's really what got me, you know, excited about exactly what you do. How are you using what you do as you're teaching, you know, at Philadelphia University?
You know, I'll tell you, I don't. It's kind of a separate thing. At Philadelphia University, I teach comics and graphic narratives.
Awesome.
And it's really a writing class. We write stories with comics. So I don't use the graph recording so much, although, you know, I do draw stuff out for the students and show them how to do stuff and use images that way. But, it's not exactly the same thing because, the process of writing comics is different than the process of graph recording. It's really two different things.
Okay. That's something. I didn't know that. That's great to know. I did not know that. And then this might be a very far-fetched question. How long has graphic recording even been around? Like, how long has that been around?
It's actually been around since the 70s.
Wow.
And it was originated, it actually started out in San Francisco. And the people that started it now have an institute called the Grove Institute. And they do training. They still exist, and they still do trainings and a lot of thinking about graphic recording. It's kind of a bigger thing on the West Coast, I'd say, but it's used increasingly around the country, and there's a lot of people that do it in D.C., there's a lot of people that do it in New York, there's a lot of people that do it in Chicago, and the government actually uses it a lot, and there's whole firms of graphic recorders in Washington, D.C. that just work for the government. Especially the military really likes it for some reason.
With the graphic recording?
Yes. Yeah. So So a lot of times, like, for instance, I did some graphic recording for the Navy earlier this year.
Awesome.
And I didn't even know what it was about because they used so many technical terms. Yeah, they use it as part of their thought process. So they're really forward thinking on that.
Yes. And so how do you actually get, you know, connected with the different, you know, organizations that you work with to actually become the graphic recorder? Like, because I think that's a big job now that I know what it is. You know, how do you actually get connected with that?
You know, it's like marketing anything else. You have to, you know, you have to do it for people so they can see what you do. And then, you know, hopefully if they see you in an event, they'll want you to work at their event. And I've met with people that, you know, for instance, I work with a lot of facilitators, a lot of people that do business coaching and things like that, organizational work. And so I've emailed them. There's an organization of graphic recorders. There's an international organization. It's called the International Federation of Visual Practitioners.
Wow.
You can see it on the web. And, you know, I'm listed there. So there's all kinds of ways. I spend a lot of time marketing.
Awesome. So after you finish, you know, your graphic recording, do you go and sell them back to the, you know, the people, or does it already come? Like, how do you distribute it after you're done with it? Like, what do you do after, you know, the artwork when it's finished?
Yeah, the physical artwork goes to the organization.
Awesome.
That's usually included, so that's kind of part of the deal.
Okay.
But what's really important is the images. So I photograph them and I put them, you know, I put them in Photoshop and I clean them up and, you know, fix the mistakes. Sometimes there's spelling errors and stuff. So there's a nice cleaned up, high resolution digital image, and then that goes to the organization. And they
That's
can use
awesome.
It for all kinds of things. I mean, I've seen them on websites, and I've seen them, you know, sometimes they make coffee mugs out of them. You can print them up and have them as, like, maps.
That's different. Office. That's cool to see. I would love to see it on a coffee mug. That's like making, you know, your vision really come to life right there. Because that's
it's
huge.
Nice.
I'm with that one.
You know, once you have that image, you can do anything with it that you can do with any other image.
Definitely. That now that I'm thinking about it, I'm so happy that I met you. You don't even understand, because when I tell you, you brought something new into my life. You definitely brought something new into my life, and I love learning something new each and every day. What was your favorite graphic recording, you know, like, session you ever done? Like, you know, what kind of conference or event that you were at? What was one of your favorite events or conferences you got, you know, you were able to record?
I don't know. I have this story that I always tell people. I told it at the graphic recording conference. It's a little racy, though. I don't know. This is a web show, right?
Yes. We're listening.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you a story. So my wife is a sex therapist. That's a true thing. And when I was learning graphic recording, there was this big conference of sex therapist in Puerto Rico. So she was like, why don't you, you know, I'll like contact, you know, some of these people and maybe you can do graphic recording of their sessions. So I was like, cool, you know. So she emailed these people and we got a couple responses. And one of the responses was from this lady. I didn't know who she was, but she did like work about bonobos. It was like this bonobos. And do you know about bonobos?
No, I don't.
So,
I'm sorry.
So bonobos are relatives of chimpanzees, and they're kind of famous because, you know, instead of being aggressive, they have sex with each other. That's like a famous thing about bonobos.
You're teaching me something again.
Huh?
I said you're teaching me something again. You're full of knowledge.
It's a real famous thing. So this lady had, like, invented this whole, you know, program around the notion of bonobos and, you know, conflict resolution. And, you know, so she asked me to graphic record her session. So I was like, cool.
Awesome. I know that was some fun.
Oh. So that was really a trip because she turned out to be, like, kind of a nut, and she was dressed in like bondage gear, and there was a film of bonobos having sex behind her that went on an endless loop through the entire.
How did you grab that in your recording though? Like, how were you able to illustrate that?
Yeah, I didn't include the film.
Okay.
I drew a lot of really cute bonobos, and people were really happy, but it was definitely kind of a weird scene. Not what I expected at all.
That sounds like an awesome story, though. That definitely sounds like a great...
He was happy, though. He liked it.
Definitely. But give me one second, Terry. We do have a caller on the line, so I do want to get to this caller. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Just listening in on the program.
Okay, awesome.
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you. So, Terry, when it comes to graphic recording, how do you think that this can actually help, you know, with, you know, innovation when it comes to actually learning, you know, when in the classroom setting? How do you think that that can help, you know, in a classroom setting, the graphic recording? Do you think that that can help, you know, the next generation behind us to learn a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, or actually be able to, you know, draw, read, and write all at the same time?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's two ways to answer that, because there's the experience of being in a room with a graphic recorder, and then there's the process of learning to take visual notes yourself. So when you have a graphic recorder present that's making that chart, you know, it's actually scientifically proven to help with comprehension in a couple of different ways. First of all, there's that aspect of putting information in visual terms. So you're pairing the information with the images, and you're kind of boiling down the information as well to the crucial points. So it's a note-taking process. And because it's a third party supplying those images, a lot of times the images that that person, you know, who's probably got some expertise in thinking of things that way, you know, that in those images also are a new way of looking at the information.
Awesome.
You know, so that can help people learn. Then there's the whole notion of that process. You know, when that chart emerges of what's going on in the classroom and it takes that form, that process really pulls people in. And I think I've seen it and you've seen it too at the conference, it really adds excitement.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
They get really excited about the chart. They get really excited about the recording. They want to take pictures. They want to check it out. It really pulls them in and it involves them. And because they've just been through this talk.
I was just going to say, it's like you're going through it again.
Yeah. You're seeing something that you participated in summed up in this way, which is really exciting. And if you haven't actually experienced it, it's actually a little hard to describe.
Well, we're actually putting it out on our social media right now. So everyone who's listening and, you know, engaging with us, they're actually able to see it on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So we definitely put your images up from the actual conference that we saw where we sent maybe 2 Mondays ago. Yes. So that's awesome, Terry. And I appreciate that with the information you just brought to the listening audience, because I'm sure, you know, most of them didn't know what graphic recording was either. So that's huge. And I appreciate you coming on and supporting the Revive platform. But if you can go ahead and give yourself a shout out, tell the people where they can find your website for more information on graphic recording, as well as if you have any social media you would like to throw out there.
Okay, well, my website is www.breakthroughvisuals.com. I do some other things. There's a lot of cartoons and stuff on there that people might find entertaining. My Twitter handle is Breakthrough Visuals. Oh, I can't really spell it, but it's BRK. THRU
GHGIZ.
But you can always do T Laban at T Laban too, TLABAN. I'm on Facebook. There's a Breakthrough Visuals page on Facebook. And those are the three best ways to find me.
I appreciate you, Terry.
Yeah, what's the other thing you asked me?
No, that was fine. I just wanted you to make sure that you gave yourself a shout out so that people can find your website, because I had the chance of looking through your website myself and I love it. But before I let you go, what is your favorite cartoon you like to illustrate? What is the what's that favorite cartoon of yours that you just love to draw all the time?
Oh, my God. Well, gosh. Of mine? You know, I like doing my comic strips.
Your comic
for
strips.
15 years. And it was in the Philadelphia Inquirer. So some people, if they're in Philly, obviously there's people in Georgia, but if they're in Philly, they may have seen it. So I like all the things I drew.
That's awesome.
Each one had, like, its own thing.
That's what's up, Terry. On. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your artistry as well. And continue to do what you're doing. Your work is needed out here. And thank you for educating my listening audience once again on what exactly graphic recording is. And I hope you have a great week, Terry.
Hey, you too. Thank you so much for having me on.
No problem. So that just wrapped up another great interview here on Revive, man. Terry came through to educate the people on graphic recording. I was extremely excited about, you know, the whole graphic recording world, and I didn't know anything about it until I met Terry. He broke it down for me there at the Women's Conference in Philadelphia about 2 weeks ago, and it was amazing. We actually put it out on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. So if you're listening to us right now, go ahead and check that out on our social media so you know exactly why I was excited, because I know once you see it, you will be excited as well. I think that that will change the way a person should be educated. That will change the way our children, our youth are being educated, because not everyone is textbook savvy. Not everyone can pick up a 20 chapter book and fully understand it. Not everyone is going to pick up, you know, a worksheet and understand it the first go around. But if they're able to see someone recorded graphically, you know how amazing that is? And that's something that we all need. You know, people who, you know, there are children out there who, you know, super air quotes, that have ADHD, ADD, dyslexia, and things of that nature. And instead of putting them on medicine and things like that, we can just find a different way for them to learn. Not everyone learns the exact same way. So shout out to Terry and what he's doing. Shout out to all the graphic recorders out there for what they're doing, because they're like, once people really truly catch on to this, you know, in the public school kind of way, I think this can really change how, you know, our kids and our youth is being educated. So definitely shout out to Terry and what he's doing. Make sure you guys go check out his website. Once again, that is www.breakthroughvisuals.com, and definitely check out our social media, because we put some of his visuals up out there as well. We'll be going to our next commercial break. After that, we're going to get into some more conversation here on Revive. Once again, we are highlighting Breast Cancer Awareness Month as well. So stay tuned. Coming in the 9 o'clock hour, I'm going to be giving away a $20 gift card to whatever black owned business of your choice. So definitely stay tuned, because I am coming live here on Revive. Man, you know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC.
I'm feeling honored that I'm being chosen as a Nobel laureate, and I have been honored with this precious award, which is the Nobel Peace Prize.
Growing up in Mississippi, my prayer was, for as long as I can remember, God, use me. Use me. Use this life. I don't know what the future holds for me, but I know that there is a vision for my life that is greater than my imagination can hold. Use me, use me. What would you have me to do? And that dream, that desire, that prayer brought me somehow to television.
May it remind me and every little child that no matter where you're from, your dreams are valid. Thank you.
If we stop defining each other by what we are not and start defining ourselves by who we are, we can all be free.
I am grateful to have been loved and to be loved now and to be able to love, because that liberates. Love liberates.
So rock bottom became the solid foundation on which I rebuilt my life. You might never fail on the scale I did, but some failure in life is inevitable. It is impossible to live without failing at something, unless you live so cautiously that you might as well not have lived at all, in which case you fail by default.
Thank you. of rape and sexual violence as a weapon of war once and for all. We really can do it.
If you're willing to work for it, then we must work like never before.
One child, one teacher, one book, and one pen can change the world.
There is one message that echoes forth from this conference. Let it be that human rights are women's rights, and women's rights are human rights once and for all.
Remember, you said sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah, yeah.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know that every 19 seconds someone is diagnosed with breast cancer, and every 74 seconds someone in the world dies from it? These are not just statistics, but mothers, daughters, sisters, friends. The good news is that about 98% of women who detect and treat breast cancer early experience positive results, having at least a 5-year relative survival rate, and most of them living with no evidence of the cancer after treatment. So don't let a loved one become another statistic. Be proactive, especially during this Breast Cancer Awareness Month. First, get better informed about this disease by visiting websites such as the National Breast Cancer Organization or the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. And then help spread the word by making sure your daughter knows about self-to-breast exams, encouraging your friends to get a yearly mammogram, urging your loved ones to go for their regular checkup once a year, and last but not least, making time for yourself to schedule an appointment with your doctor. These are all simple ways you can help your family, friends, and yourself to detect breast cancer before it progresses. From the MacFM community, we want you to know that you can make a difference in the fight against breast cancer. Remember, early detection is our best protection.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Proof of consciousness. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind.
All I need is
it's about that time. Welcome to Revive. Welcome to Revive.
And welcome back to Revive. It's me, your girl, POC, host of Revive, coming live each and every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every Wednesday. And hold down the airwaves here on timeforanawakening.com/Revive. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message right now. We are live right now. Tell the people, go click that link. You can also find us on TuneIn. All you got to do is download the app or search us on the website. Just search Time for an Awakening. You hit me, your girl, POC, live each and every Wednesday, you guys. But guess what, y'all? Y'all know what time it is. It's homecoming season. You so corny. Harmony corny. You what time it is. But yes, it's homecoming season, man. It is homecoming season. And I'm trying to host somebody's homecoming. I'm trying to host somebody's high school or college homecoming this year, this fall 2017, this October. I'm trying to host somebody's homecoming. And once again, I gotta give a shout out to my girl Stony F Baby. She said she didn't hear me, so I was like, all right, I got you baby. Shout out to my man Stony F Baby. Also, once again, a huge shout out to my big brother. Today is his birthday. I gotta make sure I shout him out each and every time. I love that guy. That's my guy, man. But yes, also, it's homecoming season. Homecoming season. Y'all remember y'all homecoming? That one homecoming that just always bring back memories. And I went to a HBCU. I went to the first HBCU. So when I say homecoming, I mean it's a family reunion. You know what I'm saying? All you hear in the background, it's a family reunion. Definitely. I mean out there two-stepping, you know, slide to the left, slide to the right. You got the Greeks out there. You got the Divine Nine hopping and skipping and just all jumping around, man. You got so much black excellence out there on that lawn. You got so many black graduates up on that quad. You hear me, you guys? Like, I love homecoming season. It's the time of the year where you can come back to your alma mater and you can act the fool that you couldn't act when you was in school. You know what I'm saying? Because you just might get kicked out. Now they can't do nothing but send you back to your car. So what's up? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the time to make sure you spend those black dollars at your black university. If you know, our graduate of HBCU, I encourage all of you guys, when you go back to your homecoming this year, you make sure you drop a tip in the tip jar, okay? Because all these HBCUs need to survive out here. So make sure you do that. I got to be that advocate, that support right there, man. Make sure you drop a tip in the tip jar if you graduated from HBCU. I don't know about the PWI. True Heart going to get her little 2 cents in, you know what I'm saying? They got all the money already. But definitely, I'm making sure I drop my 2 cents in the tip jar this year. I cannot wait to get to my alma mater to support, you know, my HBCU, man. I remember homecoming, especially my junior year homecoming, because I was Miss Junior. I gotta say that, you know what I'm saying? I got my crown when I was in college. I was Miss Junior, and that homecoming was amazing because I had all my family, all my friends. Shout out to my best friend Seven. She pulled up on me. Tab Money was there. My brother was there. Yo, when I say my family turned up because they were so excited for me, they got kicked out the homecoming party, yo. Like, they couldn't even get in the gym because we had all parties in the gym, just like a real HBCU do it. You know what I'm saying? We had our party in the gym. They couldn't even get in the gym because they tore it up. They tore it up, man. Shout out to my whole family. We had a blast. That was one homecoming that I will always remember. 2013 up at Cheney University. That was the time to remember. Yo, True Heart, get your PWI in. What's up with your PWI? How y'all be doing at homecoming? I heard y'all be splitting it into two. Y'all let, you know, one group of students have one homecoming party, and then there's another group of students, you know, who got their own homecoming party. Tell a story. Tell us a little bit about how y'all do it up in, what's it called? East Strasburg or something like that. See, we can't even pronounce it.
What's it, Cheney? No. So with that, please don't speak on things that you do not know. Once a warrior, always a warrior. Shout out to East Strasburg University of Pennsylvania. It is an hour and a half away from Philadelphia and an hour and a half away from New York. And we definitely had a lot of Jersey people there. And we had people from all over the world. With that, I'm a proud warrior. And our homecomings were lit. And they definitely weren't separated. But, I mean, the multicultural community had our own parties and festivities. And the Anglo-Saxons had their own.
I love how you just did that. I love how you did that. That was that. Shout out to the PWIs. You see what I'm saying? That's a great education right there.
You know. And yeah, so they had their own gathering. Sometimes they came together, but oftentimes they were just getting home at 12, and then we were just leaving our rooms at 12 to go party. So I had a wonderful time. I'm not able to make it to my homecoming this year because it is on the 21st of October. And yeah, the only thing I don't like about East Stroudsburg's homecoming is that we don't have a homecoming concert. And that was one thing that I just envied schools. We had concerts, but we had a fall concert and a spring concert, and they never really could coordinate that around homecoming. So yeah, and then homecoming queen and king stuff, it was cute, but it wasn't like, oh my God, because, you know, some people aren't as ready for change, if that makes sense. So yeah, it was lit though. I enjoyed it. Shout out to ESU.
That makes a whole lot of sense. Like, definitely makes a whole lot of sense. And how y'all gonna have a homecoming without a homecoming, you know what I'm saying, party at the end? You gotta have the concert though. The concert is the party, man. The concert is the party. One year we had Fab, one year we had Wale. Like, we always have the party come to the campus. Why are we leaving the campus if we are celebrating the home of the campus? You hear what I'm saying? So you gotta party on the campus. You know what I'm saying? No, you gotta have a concert. It just unwritten rule. It just happened like that. You gotta have a concert. I do. Talk about it, right? I do. Yo, Harmony, how you feeling, man? When was your we went to school together. We went to school, so I know all your little secrets. But nah, what was your favorite homecoming? What was your most favorite homecoming?
Look, we're not gonna talk about secrets, and you had a whole catastrophe with Miss Junior. But we're not going to talk about that, okay? We're not going to talk about that. But so just the homecoming is always just a lovely time to be with your home school and meet up with the alumni, meet up with the new students who are in school now. It's just a fun time to reunite with everyone. Even the instructors be there as well. So it's all about a good time, baby, and reuniting. That's all I'm going to say.
I agree with you, definitely, man. I love my school, and I'm definitely going to be, you know, in the yard. Well, not the yard, because, you know, I'm going to be just around. You know, around, definitely, now. You know, I got to be around nowadays. But definitely, I'm going to be around. But once again, I'm trying to host your high school or your college homecoming. So hit me up right now at revive.poc@gmail.com. Once again, that's revive.poc@gmail.com, man. I'm trying to come to a school near you. I'm trying to hype up the crowd. I'm trying to get them right, man. Yo, but Harmony has some interesting news that she wanted to bring up for you guys today surrounding the Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts are at it again, man. They are at it again. Yo, was y'all a Girl Scout? Any one of y'all? Was y'all a Girl Scout? Y'all not going to tell the truth on air?
I wasn't a Girl Scout at all. I always wanted to be, but I never been a Girl Scout. And so the Boy Scouts America made an announcement today, which is actually the International Day of the Girl, which honors and shows appreciation to allow more awareness to gender equality. And this was designated by the United Nations in 2012 as a day to discuss and celebrate equal opportunities for young women around the globe. The Boy Scouts of America announced this Wednesday they would be allowed to become, girls would be allowed to be, excuse me, a tongue twister. It gets like that sometimes, but let me get back to it. The Boy Scouts of America announced today that the girls will soon be allowed to become Cub Scouts and be earned the Eagle Scout, which is widely recognized as the highest achievement. And for girls, that is equivalent to the Gold Award, which is not necessarily the Eagle rank, but for the Gold Award, for the Eagle rank, it is a long time benefits in academic, professional, and military spheres. Some of the people that was recognized is the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Neil Armstrong, and former U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates are just a few notable men who have attained the rank of Eagle Scout. Now, I'm not sure why they are adding girls to the Boy Scouts. I think that's why they have a Girl Scouts. But Donald Trump Jr. actually tweeted today. He said, "Strange. I thought that's what the Girl Scouts was for. With all the other issues in the world, I feel as though that maybe expanding your program with, instead of expanding your program with to girls joining the Boy Scouts, maybe expand your program into adding more diversity into the Boy Scouts, more African-American boys, more Latino boys, and that could be something to take a heed of instead of just all, everything doesn't have to be gender neutral. Some things are set because girls need to learn certain things and boys need to learn certain things. So I'm just not sure how I feel about that. But I think that there was other issues that they may have that they may needed to attack.
I'm with you on that. So what you were trying to say was that now the Boy Scout is letting, you know, young women into their program and they will be able to receive either the Eagle Award or the Silver Award, correct? And that is similar to one of the highest awards that the Girl Scouts have already been able to, or the Girl Scouts are already honoring their women, you know, who are that high of a rank in the Girl Scouts already.
Right. It just doesn't equivalent to the long-term benefits that the boys get. So the boys can get career opportunities, different opportunities from Boy Scouts than girls can, because there's a discrepancy between girls and boys. It's not an equality there. But,
So you're saying it's not equivalent to what the boys can actually receive. So if the boys get, so let's just say me, you know, I'm a female, so I'm a woman, I'm sorry. I join the Boy Scouts and I go and get me an Eagles Award, right? Or I go get a Silver Award from the Boy Scout. What you're saying is that even though I have this award, it will not be worth the same amount of whatever, you know, amenities you may get if I was a boy.
I'm saying that the Boy Scouts is allowing girls to join the Boy Scouts. So they're able to receive that Eagle rank, which is the highest rank. So that's why they're allowing girls to join the Boy Scouts. But if you were just in the Girl Scouts, your rank would be a gold award, which is not equivalent to the Eagle rank. So you don't have these long time benefits if you were just a gold, if you were just a Girl Scouts, you know,
member. Okay. So what you're saying though is that they should not open it up to girls. They should just open it up to, you know, having a more diverse audience who participates in the Boy Scouts.
Absolutely. And then also work on the Girl Scouts to have that equivalent rank, a higher rank that has these long-term benefits. But don't just open up to have a gender-neutral organization. Focus on the issues. And the issues is also, you know, nationality equality. Like, you don't see a lot of African-American boys in there. You don't see a lot of Latino boys in there. All you see is Caucasian boys. So, you know, if you want to, you know, detect manhood and instill that into these boys, why not keep that?
I get you. It makes sense. It definitely makes sense. But I got to do my own research. I didn't do any research on it to actually fully understand exactly what you're saying. But I do get what you're saying. Just instead of just saying, let's make it, you know, gender, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Let's just open it up to, you know, women and men. How about you just open it up to everyone so everyone can fit? You know, everyone can qualify for this award no matter what their ethnic background may be. That's what you're getting. I'm with you on that one. I just got to do some research before I put my two cents on it. Trueheart, did you want to put your spin on it?
I'm the same way. I have to definitely do more research. But just from what I've heard and what I've seen so far, I don't get it. Because what's going to happen to the Girl Scouts? What's going to happen? And especially, what's the point of having them join if they can't even reach the highest ranking that boys can join? So that's just inequality in itself. Why not go to the Girl Scouts and fulfill all their duties and different things like that, and you keep excelling? Why would you join this group where you're going to be a minority, work just as hard as the boy, but they're going to remind little girls, say, hey, no matter how hard you work, you'll never get to this, you know, this status. That's just perpetuating terrible things. And I don't think that's necessarily going to work. Just leave the girls in the Girl Scouts, leave the boys in the Girl Scouts. I mean, if you're a trans man or a trans woman, then we'll go to the Girl Scouts or go to the Boy Scouts and we'll just call it a day. Just don't mess up the cookie flow. Like, just keep the girls in the Girl Scouts and let them do their thing. But today is the International Day of Girl. And I think that, speaking of girls and boy inequality and different things like that, sorry, POC, I definitely had to just throw this in there. Today is the Day of the Girl, for those of you who do not know. And the mission is to help galvanize a worldwide enthusiasm for goals to better girls' lives, which provides an opportunity for them to show leadership and reach their full potential. So celebrities like Beyonce, Tracee Ellis Ross have really just been posting and advocating. This isn't just a U.S. movement. It's really an international campaign just to uplift girls and let them know that they can be all they can be. So I love it. Girl power.
You're so corny, girl power. I'm definitely with the girl power too as well. That's why today we are, you know, honoring this show on Breast Cancer Awareness Month, because we want to educate and re-educate the people each and every time we get on the airwaves. And super shout out to that PWI education once again, because you was a women's study major. That's why you wanted to throw that out there. Minor.
It was one of my minors. The other one was political science. So.
Shout out to you with your 4 degrees. All right, cool. All right, but yes, so I get it wholeheartedly. Shout out to all the women out there in this world we live in, man. We got to stick together. So I'm with that one, definitely. But we are going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after the commercial break, we're going to have our next guest coming up, and we're also going to start our trivia game as well. I'm ready to give away this gift card to whatever black-owned business of your choice, man. All you got to do is answer 3 questions today surrounding the topic of breast cancer awareness. Right after this commercial break, we are going to be speaking with our next guest, man. What she's doing right now for millennials, man, you just got to love her, man. I know you guys are going to love her, because what she's doing is empowering the people each and every day, and she's doing it so millennial. And that's how I'm with it. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC. We be right back after this commercial break.
It's the calm before the storm right here. Wait, how was I gonna start this off? I forgot. Oh yeah. That's an awfully hot coffee pot. Should I drop it on Donald Trump? Probably not, but that's all I got till I come up with a solid. Got a plan and now I got a hatchet like a damn Apache with a tomahawk. I'ma walk inside a mosque on Ramadan and say a prayer that every time talks, she gets a I'ma stop. But we better give Obama props, cause what we got in office now's a kamikaze that'll probably cause a nuclear holocaust. And while the drama pops and he waits for shit to quiet down, he'll just gas his plane up and fly around till the bombing stops. Intensity's heightened, tensions are rising. Trump, when it comes to giving a shit, you're stingy as I am. Except when it comes to having the balls to go against me, you hide them. Because you don't got the nuts like an empty asylum. Racism's the only thing he's fantastic for. Because that's how he gets his rocks off and he's orange. Yeah, sick tan. That's why he wants us to disband, because he cannot withstand the fact we're not afraid of Trump. Walking on eggshells, I came to stomp. That's why he keeps screaming, drain the swamp, because he's in quicksand. It's like we take a step forwards, then backwards. But this is his form of distraction. Plus, he gets an enormous reaction when he attacks the NFL, so we focus on that and instead of talking Puerto Rico with gun reform for Nevada, all these horrible tragedies, and he's bored and would rather cause a Twitter storm with the Packers. Then says he wants to lower our taxes. Then who's gonna pay for his extravagant trips back and forth with his fam to his golf resorts and his mansions? Same shit that he tormented Hillary for and he slandered, then does it more. From his endorsement of Bannon, support for the Klansmen, tiki torches in hand for the soldier that's black and comes home from Iraq and is still told to go back to Africa, forking a dagger in this racist 94-year-old grandpa who keeps ignoring our past historical deplorable factors. Now if you're a black athlete, you're a spoiled little brat for trying to use your platform or your stature. to try to give those a voice who don't have one. He says you're spitting in the face of vets who fought for us, you bastards. Unless you're a POW who's tortured and battered, because to him, you're zeros, because he don't like his war heroes captured. That's not disrespecting the military. That. This is for Colin. Ball up a fist. And keep that shit balled like Donald the bitch. He's gonna get rid of all immigrants. He's gonna build that thing up taller than this. Well, if he does build it, I hope it's rock solid with bricks. Cause like him in politics, I'm using all of his tricks. Cause I'm throwing that piece of shit against the wall till it sticks. And any fan of mine who's a supporter of his, I'm drawing in the sand a line. You're either for or against. And if you can't decide who you like more in your split on who you should stand beside, I'll do it for you with this. You. The rest of America, stand up. We love our military and we love our country. But we...
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC, hey! It's your girl POC, hey! Proof of consciousness. Proof of consciousness. POC. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive.
Yes, 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 yes. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. We are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. And once again, we are giving away a $20 gift card to whatever black-owned business of your choice. All you have to do is answer three questions today surrounding breast cancer. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. Once again, it's 215-490-9832. Yo, Truart, who we got coming up on the Revive platform? I'm extremely excited to be talking to this next guest, man. I love what she's doing.
Up next on the Revive platform, we have Anne Marie Apaya. Anne Marie is the founder of Painted Pink Ink. 5 years ago, she had two lumpectomies after finding a lump in her breast. During her experience, she noticed a severe lack of resources and outlets available for young adults to advocate for their own health. Though her disease came back negative for cancer, the feeling of helplessness never left her. Realizing she never wanted another young woman to feel as alone as she did, she birthed Painted Pink Inc. Painted Pink was founded in 2014, and since its inception, they have raised over $40,000 dedicated to educating millennials on breast health and providing financial assistance to breast cancer warriors. Anne Marie, welcome to the Revive platform.
Accent, her voice.
Anne Marie, how you feeling out there today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I am great. I'm extremely excited to be talking with you today, man. When I heard about what you were doing for the millennials, I got so excited because that's my thing. That's my niche. I love speaking to my generation. I love speaking to the millennial generation. Are you a millennial yourself?
I am. I'm 29. Thank you.
Yes. Awesome. And you look amazing as well. Definitely.
Aww,
shout out to you. Can you go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself before we get started?
Absolutely. So yes, my name's Anne Marie. I've been in about Atlanta for almost 5 years, and it's funny how you can move somewhere and all of a sudden you start really grinding in your purpose.
Yes.
And all the things that you've loved or, you know, always wanted to do, you know, all of a sudden makes sense at the right time and the right place. I'm really big on that. So I used to just do walks, you know, after my surgery to for breast cancer walks and paint my nails pink and get my friends engaged, you know, to do certain things in October 2012 and 2013. And that was that. But then 2014 had been my 1 year living in Atlanta, and something just told me this is a great city with multicultural diversity, women that look like me that are doing big things that I think I can will come support something so serious. And so that's when I put together my first, you know, breast cancer brunch that October. And it was about 60 women. I was so scared no one would show up. I even funded it myself. I was like, just please come. And, you know, we had a really good time. And so I think, honestly, my calling life is just to evoke emotion through just really specific and intimate events. And I think that can go through just really making sure everyone leaves with a transformed mind, whatever we're talking about. And, of course, my biggest passion is about breast health, not just breast cancer awareness, but for this millennial generation, the breast health. If you've got lumps, if you've got pain, you know, if you've got any type of irregular action going on in your breast and not really knowing what that means, not feeling thrown to the wayside of like, oh, well, I don't have cancer in my family, so I'm good. You know, that's kind of the stigma that is kind of placed on us, which is extremely false. And so we really try to make sure that we are pushing more and more statistics and facts as much as we can to show that, you know, young women need to have a seat at the table too, because cancer does not discriminate. And at the end of the day, you know, you can have a very serious conversation in a really sexy format where, you know, you're still looking good, you're having fun with your girls, and, you know, you can still leave wanting to call every friend that you have to see if they've gotten their annual check that year. You know, awesome. It doesn't have to be so form or feel like you're back in college in a class and you're like zoning out. You know, we really work hard to make sure that it's entertaining and still really impactful.
And that's why I love what you're doing. That's that you're educating and definitely re-educating people, you know, on a topic that, you know, sometimes may not be, you know, what someone is familiar with. So that's why I really love what you're doing. And Anne-Marie, I do apologize if I'm ignorant as I'm saying this. Is it called lumpectomy?
Lumpectomy.
Okay,
that's
awesome.
So that's a process that it just is literally just means removing of the lump. So, of course, millions of patients that have lumps anywhere, most usually it's in the breast, get them removed, whether it's cancerous or non-cancerous. Mm-hmm.
Awesome, because I did not know that at all, and I wanted to make sure that we were saying it correctly as well, definitely. But we do got a call on the line, so I want to get to this caller. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you're calling from? I can hear you. What's up, caller? You're live on Revive. What's your name and where you're calling from? All right. I guess that was a butt dial. So we're going to get back to you, Anne-Marie. So what actually was one of the main reasons? I know you said, you know, once you got to Atlanta, you started grinding and everything like that to walk into your purpose. What was one of the main reasons why you started what you started? And you did it exactly for the millennial generation. You know what I mean? Like, why you're targeting millennials?
I think it just came from the whole naiveness and just complete blatant confusion about how young women are even involved in breast cancer. I think it was just when I was learning stuff myself and, you know, really figuring out, okay, at the end of the day, I was thrown to the side when it came to all the physicians that I saw, got second opinions asking, you know, I really think I should get these lumps removed because they hurt. I was like, well, they're not cancer, so you're fine. But I was like, I'm at risk. My mom's sister at the time had just gotten triple negative breast cancer. So I was really scared. Like, okay, well, I am at risk. It's in my family. Help me, you know? And it's one of those things where I had to really advocate for my health. Mom was like, I'll fight with you. Do what you need to do. And that's when I was like, I want these removed. Regardless of, you know, insurance will pay it or not, I want it done. And I think that stance is something that I wanted every young woman to feel, whatever they're going through in their life, where they kind of feel like they've been told by friends or physicians, what have you, about their health or what to do. You got to find that inside of you. You've got to discern for yourself. And I feel like if you have that empowerment of understanding you are the best advocate for yourself, no one's going to stand up for you more than you can for your own self, then we've done our part. And so that's where I wanted to really start. Of course, I wanted to fundraise and be able to really have money to, you know, help patients at hospitals and what have you. My biggest and always number one core will be awareness. Whoever I can talk to, even if it's one person, you know, you never know who can be transforming minds. So
awesome.
I think that's the biggest reason why is just And especially in Atlanta, we're not seeing that much awareness for young women. It's still targeted at over 40. CNN just put out something, I think, last 2016 saying, oh, yeah, mammograms are required after 42. That doesn't make any sense.
None at all.
And so it's still not really addressed. And so I think it's great that, you know, we're able to start adding a little bit of fire in the city. And, you know, we can't wait to push up more nationally to make sure every city is doing what they can to be aware of breast health. It doesn't have to just be breast cancer.
Definitely. I agree with you on many points that you just said, but we do have another caller. I want to get to this caller as well, Anne-Marie.
Okay.
Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from? Hey, caller, you are live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from? It seems like you're calling out of Georgia as well.
Hey, how you guys doing? My name is Mel, and I'm calling from Philly.
Awesome. How are you feeling today? Thank you for your support.
You're welcome. I'm feeling really good. How are you guys feeling?
We're great. Yo, so we got three questions for you. Today we're giving away a free gift card to a Black-owned business of your choice. You have to answer three questions surrounding breast cancer. And shout out to our guest, Anne-Marie. I also want her to actually ask you the third question. So, Anne-Marie, whatever question you got stimulating in your mind right now, in order for this guest to win this gift card, they got to answer your question correctly. But we're going to start off with our questions. True Heart's going to read our questions off for us as well. Melly, you got to get them right, man. You got to get them right. What's up?
Okay. All right, let's go.
Okay, so the first question is, true or false, Black women tend to be diagnosed at a younger age than white women for breast cancer?
That's true.
That is correct. Are you ready for the second question?
All right, man, the heat is on now. The heat is on. You got to get this one right. The heat is on. You got to give her a little hard one. Give her a hard one. That was too easy for her.
All right. One moment. Let me see. Let me shuffle the deck real quick. Okay. So, the second question. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, the percentage of women 40 and older who had a mammogram in the last 2 years, true or false? African-American women are at 69% of the percentage of women 40 and older who had a mammogram in the past 2 years.
I like that. That was a good one because I don't know the answer to that one.
That is a good one. I'm not sure about this answer. I'm going to guess that is false.
That is correct. That is false.
Oh, man, you're giving her easy. You better not be over there Googling, Eva. You took a little time out. That is a good one while she was getting them Twitter fingers right. All right. But I know Anne-Marie got a good one for you.
Okay. True or false, deodorant can cause breast cancer.
Oh, good one.
That's true.
Is that true, Anne-Marie?
No, it's false.
It's false, man. Sorry, Millie. We appreciate your support here on Revive. Make sure you spread the word. Tell your friends right now to call in. We want to give away this gift card tonight. Thank you again for participating and playing our game tonight.
You're welcome, guys.
Anne-Marie, that was a good one. You stomped her because I ain't know that one either. I thought it was true also.
That's a huge one that we always talk about.
Talk about it.
Switch to natural deodorant, thinking like, oh, well, you know, fragrance deodorant or antiperspirant is really bad or it's going to cause breast cancer. That's completely not true at all. So that's something we really try to push out. So, yes, I'm really glad we were able to talk about that one because hopefully now everyone can eradicate that from their mind. Use your deodorant and you'll be fine.
I'm with you on that because I did not know that, and I actually thought that that was true. Thank you for that, clearing that up for a lot of people out there who thought that was true as well. But also, to get back to the conversation, Anne-Marie, so what is one thing that you found that, you know, other than the deodorant, you know, Jim, that you just dropped on us, what is one thing that you found that most people just don't know? You know what I mean? Most people just don't know. What is that one thing you found?
So I think there's a couple of, you don't mind me saying more than one. Wired bras is another one. People think, oh, if you wear a wired bra, that can cause breast cancer. That has nothing to do with breast cancer at all. So that's a big one, misconception as well. And then I also think the whole, if you don't have cancer in your family, you're good to go.
that's, you know, a lot of women that we're seeing now that we've been having speaking at events, they were the first in their family to ever have breast cancer or any cancers at all. So that's completely not true. And you don't have to have a lump to have breast cancer. It could just be literally an image that the doctor is able to see, or fluid that is obviously has cancerous cells. So that part, of course, is a little bit more scarier because you wouldn't be able to feel it to go to the doctor. But also it's so important to always get your blood work and things of that nature, because that obviously will catch it.
Can I ask a quick question with that one? So, you know, you said it doesn't necessarily mean you have breast cancer. If you see a lump, it could just be like fluids. Could those fluids be, you know, cancerous to the point where you can, actually get breast cancer? Or should you watch it from that point on since you have that lump? Like, what should you do when you see it? Even though, you know, at that point of time, they say it's not cancerous, but can it affect you down the line?
Yeah, great question. So I think the first thing is, once you see a lump, you go to the doctor. If they say, oh, you know, we're just going to watch it, definitely demand that they do a biopsy so they can actually test the fluid to make sure it's not cancerous. Again, being a young woman, that happens a lot. I have so many stories of girls that have gone to colleges. You go to, and it's so sad, they'll say that they had a lump and they're told to go home because they're too young. That's not true. Mm. So demand that you actually you get a paper that says it's benign or non-cancerous. Once that happens, they are told for you to watch it, and you should be starting to get ultrasounds and or mammograms every year from that point forward. Sometimes they'll even do 6 months out. And, you know, if you see it grow, immediately go back to the doctor. But if it feels the same, you know, you can definitely wait till the following year. But you just want to watch it, like as you said. But at the same time, you know, any changes that you're seeing of it, you want to take it really seriously. I know for me, I removed the lump, but then it grew back at the same size 2 years later. And I was so freaked out. But when they did the biopsy and they took a lot of more fluid out of it in the biopsy, it was one of those things where I was like, I want to breastfeed one day and I don't want an implant in my left breast. So they were just like, okay, well, you know, even though it grew back, it's still not cancerous. So we're just going to put you in a bubble of, you know, you just have very active, you know, reactive breasts. Which plenty of women do, that some of them don't even know. And, you know, we're not going to remove this. We're just going to still steadily watch it. So,
awesome.
I just think it's just being really aware of your body. I think a lot of women don't even know how to do a self-breast exam, right? They don't even think about those types of things because, again, they're like, oh, I'm too young, I don't need to worry about it. But everyone should know how to do a self-breast exam. And so at least you can be aware of how your body feels everywhere. You know, so if something is alarming or off, you'd be able to even know the difference.
That's actually going to be my next question to this caller. If this caller is calling for this gift card, I'm going to ask him that question first. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hi, my name is Jessie Canty from Willingboro, New Jersey.
Hey, thank you for your support, Miss Jessie. How are you feeling today?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the show.
Awesome. I appreciate that. So what we're doing today, we're giving away a $20 gift card to whatever Black-owned business of your choice. But you have to answer three questions surrounding breast cancer. And Anne-Marie just made a great point prior to me getting to your call, right? So my first question to you today is, how do you give yourself a self-examination on your breast?
You want me to answer that?
Yes, ma'am. Got to get this gift card.
Okay. Well, when I take a shower, I lift one arm over my head and the other hand, I'm moving my hand over the breast to see if I feel any lumps. If I feel a lump, then I think it might be something. So I will call my doctor and just get an appointment because I did find 3 lumps in each breast. And I went and had it checked out, but it was only a tumor, but it was benign. So okay. I thank God for that because I am so fibrocystic, but thank God it was benign and it worked out beautiful for me. And they did do a biopsy.
Won't he do it? Won't he do it? I'm with that one.
Every time.
Very good answer. That's exactly right.
Okay, I was just about to ask you. So that's a correct answer.
Just so you know, 7 to 10 days after your cycle comes on, because some women, you know, I'm sure you know this, especially because you know how to do it in the shower, but some women don't know that. Don't do it while you're laying down in bed, you know, do it when you're sitting up. Make sure you're fully stood up, and the shower is the best way. So great answer. I'm glad you know that.
Awesome. And
thank you.
We got 2 more questions, though, for you, Ms. Jess. We got 2 more questions for you to win this gift card. True, what's the next question?
The next question is, true or false, lack of awareness of breast cancer risk and screening methods potentially cause breast cancer because women do not get checked?
Wait a minute. Say it again because it went out, in and out. I'm sorry.
Women, wait, all right, I'm going to rephrase
Hello?
It. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to just rephrase it because the way I rephrased it before was a little confusing. So, true or false?
Okay.
Women have a higher risk of catching breast cancer due to a lack of awareness of breast cancer risk and screening methods. True or false?
So what she's saying, is it true or false that women typically get breast cancer at a higher risk if they don't go and get tested or screened?
I would say that's true.
That's actually false. That's actually false.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It doesn't matter how many times you go get screened or tested. That doesn't make you a high risk. I'm sorry, Miss Jess.
Okay.
You didn't win the gift
risk.
Card. I'm sorry. You didn't win the gift
didn't
card, but
that.
I appreciate, though,
okay. The
fact that you laid out for us when it came to testing yourself in the shower. That was big. I appreciate that. Thank you for supporting and spread the word. Tell somebody else to call in, you know, who can come get this gift card from us today.
Okay, I sure will. Thank you.
No problem. Anne-Marie, do you think that that's...
Hi.
Do you think that because women who don't get screened or don't get tested every so often, do you think that they're well, let me ask this question in a different way. Do you think that women who don't have the medical insurance, do you think that they are the ones who are likely to get, you know, or receive breast cancer because they're not someone who goes to the doctor on a frequent basis?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a whole very controversial topic about the whole social economic status of why Black women are dying at a 42% higher rate since 2012. Why are we finding aggressively in at later stages, and, you know, versus other races when they're getting at like stage zero, stage one, which is much more simpler to eradicate? I think it really goes to that. If I don't have insurance, or if I'm working a, you know, retail job where it's really hard for me to take off work, you know, or, which is even the worst, if I do go to the doctor and they do find something and they're giving me the poorest care, you know, they just immediately can tell that I won't be able to afford the six-figure surgeries and chemo that's going to take to put this through, that they're just giving me the smallest clinics that are not even able to provide all the things that I need. That's a real case, and it's really, really sad. So it's something I feel like is so touchy that people don't really want to talk about. But even when it comes to the reconstructive surgery, I've seen a lot of before and after pics that would just make you cry of, you know, showing different Black women that are going to get, you know, they now are getting their surgery after their mastectomies. And they have just, it's just like, you know, just you already are losing your breath, right? Something that we just love as curvy, beautiful women. And for them to not do the surgery, for you to have, you know, a reconstructive surgery where you feel really good about yourself again, and they're just ripping in, it's just like, you know, one line with awful incisions. It's really sad. And it all goes back to where you get to go and where your insurance will allow you to get the best care.
I know.
So it's really complicated and convoluted, but simply put, yes. I think a lot of women, especially if they're running their household by themselves and there's just so much going on, they put themselves last. If something doesn't hurt, they're not even going to bother going. And of course, as we know, cancer doesn't hurt all the time. So for them to even think about feeling a lump or any of those things, that kind of goes over their head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the part that's so devastating. People really don't go to the doctor unless they don't feel good.
Especially those, you know, that those millennials who are in the stages of, you know, about to be 26 or just turned 26 or between the age of 26, 28, really, it's really hard for, you know, that age group of millennials to grab insurance because it's either too high or their job is not providing it for them, you know, because they just was recently kicked off their parents' yes. insurance. So I do find a lot of people in that age group between 26 and 28 just saying, forget it. I just don't have insurance. It is what it is. So I definitely agree with you on that point as well. But I do want to touch on your brunching you just had, man. From the pictures and the social medias and everything of that nature, it made the brunching look amazing. So I know it actually was amazing. So go ahead and tell the people a little bit about the brunching you do every year.
Oh, yes. Thank you. So the reason why we do a brunch, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is the intimacy factor. We really want you to come. I feel like when you think of brunch, you think, I want to look good, have a good time with my friends. We always have live entertainment, whether it be a band or dances or art. Last year we had an artist paint throughout the entire time we were eating. It was absolutely beautiful. You have great music, and we've got amazing millennial survivors, and also we bring healthcare professionals to speak as well. So this past Saturday, we had a couple speak, which we're so excited about because it was our first time to have a co-survivor that we called him, the husband. He calls himself a co-survivor because he feels like he also survived cancer with his wife. And so they both spoke from their different lenses of the whole experience. And she was diagnosed in her late 30s 2 years ago. This is her first time ever speaking in public. And after that, we had Dr. Erin Bowman. She is a breast oncologist in Atlanta. And, you know, she really spoke about true or falses. Some of the questions that you guys actually are speaking for these raffles are some of the questions that she also brought up and, you know, really educated the crowd in a fun, interactive way. And then lastly, we had Christia Donaldson. She's actually the CEO of Thank God It's Natural, which is a natural hair line that is in about 5,000 different stores like CVS's, Target's, et cetera. And, you know, while she was losing her hair to breast cancer, she was running a natural hair company. Can you imagine? So she was just super, super educated. And she's from Chicago. So me being in Atlanta and, of course, in the South, I was blown away with some of the statistics she was talking about. And also for her to be able to afford her, even though she is an entrepreneur, you know, she was paying high dollar for her insurance out of pocket, of course, and was willing to do whatever she needed to do for her health care. And they were shipping her off to the South Side to get, you know, her all of her everything done for breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And she was mortified just because of the color of her skin. So she talks a lot about the socioeconomic situation and what that really looks like. So I think we just touched a lot of different pieces and everyone left with a wealth of information that they're really able to share. I think we really make sure that each year we give a different flavor. So you're not coming here hearing the same kind of story, but every year you're leaving with up to date, fresh facts and understanding exactly where your money is going.
And this was your fourth year, right?
Pardon?
This was your fourth year, right?
Yes, it is. It is.
That's amazing.
So we put together patient, we call them survivor kits because, you know, we want to speak the victory before it even happens. So when patients are getting their first round of chemo, we have a very intensive care package that has all the comfort, you know, comfort things like blankets and thermals and ginger tea and all the things that can help with nausea, just to help the whole process of chemo.
I love ginger tea
with a little note. So that's where all of our donations go, and put majority of the proceeds from the brunch in. That's where we put those together, and we try to put as many as we can together to give out to our surgeons to give to their patients.
That sounds like an amazing time. Do you ever have any men attend these conferences? I mean, the brunchings. Do you have any have any men?
Great question. Yeah. So out of this past weekend, we had 160 guests. And we probably had about like 10 males. So of course, we know it's going to take a few years to like build that up. We were hoping, especially with a couple this year, that would really evoke a lot of men's reactions. But we're really going to try every year. We push to do more male or couples marketing. So men will come with their wives, their girlfriends, or even with their moms. Because it's so important. A man can actually save your life, you know? Mm-hmm. If you got a boyfriend and he's like, hey, when was the last time you went to the doctor or things of that nature? It's so important. He's learning about it as well. And I think also the reason why we want more men there is cancer is not just someone doesn't just go through it alone. If something devastating like that happens to a family, the more education and confidence that they can have about it, you can fight it together versus it being so rare and unknown to maybe the opposite sex that they don't even know how to support you, right? That could be a really, really sad situation. So we're just trying to break the whole being in the fear and the unknown. A lot of people don't like to talk about sad things or the what ifs. And I think it's just about being realistic and just being really preventative. Like, we know what bad food does to us if we eat it for a long time and the disease that can come with it. So it's the same thing how we treat that, being preventative and eating well, working out, taking care of ourselves. We know that that's just stopping us from receiving or being susceptible to really bad diseases. So I feel like it's the same kind of mentality. It doesn't have to be so morbid to talk about cancer.
Definitely. And your organization, Painted Pink Incorporated, is a nonprofit organization as well, right?
Yes, it's a 501c3.
That's awesome. So how do you guys give back to the community? Like, how are you guys, you know, other than the brunch, how are you in the community as well in that Atlanta area, you know, educating and re-educating the people?
Yes, so we do a college. Go to the colleges, basically right now in Atlanta, we're definitely trying to branch out to just speak to the young girls, you know, between 18 and 22, just about their body and breast health and what Painted Pink's about. We also really make sure that we are involved in the healthcare fairs that are around to be able to speak. And, you know, now, especially this month, a lot of companies are now trying to just do maybe pop-up shops or events where they're able to take some of their proceeds of their products to go to benefit Painted Pink. So even if it's just a digital online platform or if it's actually a physical location here, because some of the partners that we have don't even live in Georgia, you know, we're able to make sure that we're building awareness that way. One fun one that we did is Brown Beauty Box. I don't know if you've heard of them. They've got a really cute box that every single month is a subscription box with a bunch of different awesome items. They donated $1 per subscriber to us. And we helped them put together this beautiful magazine that had a bunch of breast cancer facts and just a bunch of awareness factors that they probably never would have known. And that's fun. So that was a very creative way. That was something we really excited to be a
huge
part of.
I was about to say that's a huge partnership. That is a huge partnership.
Yeah.
Was that your first magazine you were able to create?
That was our, yes. It was, I mean, it's just been such a blessing this year. We've definitely had different types of partnerships, but I think that's the biggest exposure, right? Something where people are going to physically get to their house and they've probably never heard about Painted Pink. And again, we're so much more big on awareness. You know, the fundraising part's cool, but if you leave transformed by keeping that magazine and showing someone else when you were just trying to get your little, you know, your cute little shirt and your lip balms or whatever you get in your box, you like leave like, oh wow, this is kind of cool. That's a way to touch people, because I feel like a simple conversation can bring a huge ripple effect.
Definitely.
And that's what we're really about. So those are the partnerships that we're still praying to get more of, because they're reaching people that we never would have touched ourselves.
I would love a copy of the magazine myself to definitely put on my library shelf. I would definitely love a copy of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to email you some information of how I can find that, because I definitely would love to grab a copy of that. That's a huge accomplishment. That's really, really big.
Thank
you know,
you.
To get your work
I
in black and white.
I can definitely do that for you.
Yes, yes. That's huge. When it comes to education of breast cancer, right? A lot of people talk about breast cancer once, you know, the person has already received it, but not a lot of people talk about the prevention of breast cancer. And that's one of the problems that I have with Susan G. Komen. And I'm not talking bad about them at all, but they don't talk about the prevention side of breast cancer. How do you put that out there? How do you put the prevention side out there more than, you know, just putting once you get it, what you should do once you have it? Because if you prevent it, you don't even have to have that conversation about, you know, now that you have it, what you should be doing.
I think the more so for the prevention is really providing access to resources that come to mentors, survivors, and medical professionals that understand the link of breast cancer to this generation, the millennial generation. I think if you are focused on some other foundations like you just mentioned, like Susan G. Komen or others that are more so focused on the statistics that we're already seeing, you know, for 20 plus years that are kind of dated, that's what you're going to get. You're not going to even know how this can be applicable to how you can be preventative. And again, realizing that it's just small little steps to be able to do those things. And, you know, I think with us, again, providing those resources, that can all the way go through even just chefs. Chefs putting together very clean, maybe even more plant-based recipes for us that we can share on our social media. makeup, one of our favorite events that we just did a few weeks ago was with NARS. We partnered with NARS and did an event called Purposely Beat.
Congratulations on all your partnerships.
Thank you. Yes. I love a beat face. So, but I couldn't tell you what was in the ingredients. And of course, again, that's just another way of being preventative, not knowing all the ingredients that are very toxic that are maybe in some of our favorite beauty brands. Mm. So we did a full makeover and event with them where people were able to test out different products and they're able to explain what pixel free really means and what toxic ingredients that if you see on the back of your beauty brands, you definitely do not need to buy. But that could be something that you could be putting in your skin that's seeping into your pores year after year. That could be cancer that you had no idea. So I think with just eating and what we're putting in our skin and putting in our bodies and putting in our hair are the three ways that I think we do, you know, and focus on every single day. So that's how we really try to spread the word of being preventative, whether it be a fun, engaging event, like I said, the NARS, or doing our collegiate tour where we're actually coming to you, or tabling at a healthcare event. And, you know, we're trying to find different ways where it's kind of like church. It's a really random example, but people at church really know the word, right? They know what they're going for. But then the people that really may need the word are not going to be at church. So you got to go out and do events with the church to make sure we can outreach
go out and get them,
the
yeah.
same type of love and connection. So same thing with Painted Pink. Like the people that maybe are people are going to health fairs obviously are going because they want to know about health. But the people that may have no idea that this could even affect them could just be honestly, you know, at a lounge or mm-hmm. out with their girls at, you know,
at the beauty supply store.
And the table there. At a beauty supply store, exactly. So those are the places that we want to get creative with to go because we're not trying to go places that people already are seeking or very health conscious. They already know, you know, they already know how to be preventative.
And that's why I love what you're doing with Painted Pink, man. That's really big. We need that in our millennial generation because I feel like we're going to be that millennial generation that to wake the people up, you know, so the generation behind us doesn't have to go through what our parents went through or don't have to, you know, endure what we endured as, you know, as youth because you know, we came up trying to figure it out versus us already having the blueprint and just passing along. And that's why I really, really love what you're doing with Painted Pink. But before I let you go today, you have to tell us one story that you know that someone has just gotten to you, someone just made you tear up when they went to ring the bell. Like I know you have a lot of bell stories. What's that one story that just always rings back into your mind?
I think I would honestly say one of the most recent stories, you know, we do hear a lot of beautiful survivor stories. But this one, she was diagnosed last year, right after her 30th birthday, and she is actually an identical twin. So that was kind of crazy because she was like, wait, how am I diagnosed? We never had cancer in our family. My sister is completely fine. And going through that whole process, as soon as she found out she was diagnosed, someone in her office that she was really close to just died of breast cancer. She could even tell her she got diagnosed. So just dealing with that burden, I think just really shook her. Mm-hmm. And I think something she said that just moved me to tears was she said when she was sitting at the doctor's office and they're explaining all the things that are going to happen to her when she had chemo, she started to get really angry. Like she was just so frustrated that like all her life plans now had to be put on hold. The whole idea of like, now that I'm quote unquote sick, like my life is so changed now. Everything I wanted to do, you know, now that I'm like the big 3-0 is now altered and everyone else around me gets to just move on with their lives. And now they're just going to pity me. And she just talked about that whole pity and like empathy piece and how it just, you know, we feel ashamed for a very odd reason. I think I would love to dig more into why that is of being ashamed of having something so serious like that. Like you don't want to share it. It's very hard to talk about. You don't want to look different or stand out from others. And, you know, the biggest piece or most obvious piece is, of course, the hair falling out, walking around with a shaven head or wearing wigs that may be really itchy. And, you know, when you're used to having your own routine with your own hair, just her walking through all of the anger piece of like, why do I have to be different? Why did cancer choose me? Mm-hmm. Is I think the part that just blew me away. But then also seeing how her mind just really metamorphosized and really became so appreciative, like, why not me? And I beat this and I'm going to conquer this. And, awesome. You know, she's a year out now. September was her 1 year and she still hasn't even done she finished radiation, but she still hasn't even done her reconstructive surgery for her breast. So that's going to be the next biggest move. She has to do that, I think, early next year. But her spirit was so broken and then was so built up. And I think that just really moved me because she just talked about little things. Like sometimes her mom and sister couldn't get off work to go to her chemo sessions with her. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, I go to the doctor by myself all the time, right? Even my hardest times with my surgery, my mom always left to be with me. I've had a couple of surgeries, you know, what have you, with my breast, and I couldn't imagine being alone. But when I asked her what was it like to go to those chemo sessions alone, she completely broke down. And I think that's something people don't really talk about. You don't want to worry people. Hey, can you take off 2 hours again from work to sit with me in a room where I'm just like getting my chemo done? I know I've asked you multiple times that I would really need some help, you know? Mm-hmm. And she just talked about when you are alone, what that process was like. And no other survivor had really told me about that. And I think that really rang the bell for me of like, these are all the little things that like matter, right? You just never know if you're a coworker, if you know anyone that is going through anything in life. It doesn't have to be breast cancer, where you just know if it's just you going to cook them dinner or just calling them while they're, you know, whatever, to call them to be physically kind of keeping their mind busy. If they're going through something tough, do it. You have no idea how you could change someone's entire perspective of what they're going
through.
She
definitely did. That story you just told definitely did.
People, it's hard for people to say that they need people. I think that's the biggest takeaway I got from her. People don't like to say, I just want someone to say, you know, show me, go above and beyond that they care, you know? And I think, and as humans, we just have to do a little bit better of like not assuming someone's got it all together. No one has it all together. We don't have it all.
That's awesome. That story really is touching me, especially to hear, like, you know, she was a twin, identical twin at that. And, you know, just dealing with that whole mental mind state is that's definitely hard for someone to bear, you know, because now you're known as the twin, you know, who had, you know, breast cancer, you know. And I think that I completely understand where you're coming from that, because just saying that touched me right there. But someone on Twitter asked me, and we do have to wrap it up really fast, but someone on Twitter asked me, what does ringing the bell mean? And I know that you can probably break it down a little bit more than I can. I just know it simply means when someone's done with their chemo and therapy that they get to the opportunity of ringing the bell saying that they're done, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
So that's awesome. So I answered the question, and that's good. I wanted to make sure that I knew, and I knew, I thought that you could break it down more, but that's cool. But Anne-Marie, before we wrap up today, I do want you to give yourself a shout out, how the people can find your website and also your social medias.
Awesome. Yes, guys. So you can hit us up on www.paintedpink.org. Our Instagram is paintedpink, the number 4, the letter BC. My personal page is Marie, Marie, 13188. And on Facebook, we are Painted Pink and then spelled out FOR, breast cancer. So awesome. Please reach out to us. My email is on all of those social media platforms that I gave you. Any questions that you guys have, any concerns, any volunteering that you want to do, any ideas you've got in your own cities, we are ready to travel, do whatever you got to do to spread the word. So please connect with me. I would love to hear from you guys.
Definitely hit Anne-Marie up, man. She's amazing, and everything she's doing with her organization, Painted Pink, is something that needs to be in a city near you. I would definitely advocate for her on that one. It needs to be in a city near you. Educate these millennials out here. And I appreciate what you're doing, Anne-Marie. We need more people like you, and I wish you many, many blessings in your future endeavor.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
No doubt. And look out for that email, because I'm really trying to get a copy of that magazine.
I will. I'll definitely get you one.
Awesome. I hope you have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that wrapped up a great interview with Anne-Marie. She has an organization that is out of this world, Painted Pink Incorporated. It is a millennial-based organization dedicated to educating millennials around the topic of breast cancer. She does different things as such as breast cancer lunches, wig donations, Painted Pink and fitness series, baby drives. She does a breast cancer drive as well. She has a survivor package and survivor care kits, things like that. So much more she has to offer, and I really, really, truly love what she's doing. She's a young African-American sister out there doing her thing in the beautiful city of Atlanta, Georgia. So definitely shout out to her. We do have to wrap up tonight's episode of Revive. This was another winning Wednesday here on Revive. Man, I'm so sorry nobody won this gift card. I wanted somebody to win this gift card for me today, man. I'm bringing it back on Sunday. Somebody has to answer me 3 questions. Breast cancer is all month long. Breast cancer awareness is all month long for the month of October. So I'm bringing it back this Sunday, the Sunday edition of Revive. Make sure you guys tune in starting at 11 a.m. It's going to be Meet Your Girl POC live on these airways. Yo, the team is going to Polathon this Friday, man. I'm excited. I've never been. I've been in Philly for a while, and I've never been. I always heard about it. That's why we had to have Queen in Miami on the show on Monday. But definitely, we're going to Polathon on Monday. We're going to go on the Polathon on Friday. We'll be live on Sunday. We'll be back on DG on Monday because we'd rather be booked than overlooked. You dig? You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, PLC. Shout out to the whole Revive team, Harmony, the Goddess, True Heart, and Tyler Vini for holding it down. Shout out to my segment host, Keith Taylor, and Tab Money, always holding it down each and every time for Revive. You know what time it is. We'll be right back on Sunday.